Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, the former state budget director, Randy Thompson, has the rundown.
Well, we'll be talking to Andrew Klinger, who is now the manager of the city of Reno.
And coming up on the Power Pundit panel today, and it's a feisty one, Chris Wicca, Elisa Cafferata, and Sean Carey. It's all coming up next on all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
The plan would end Medicare as we know it.
Repeals Medicare.
And that's the same plan Dean Heller voted for twice. But it gets worse. On July 25th, Heller voted to give another $160,000 tax break to millionaires. Minutes later, he voted against a tax cut for the rest of us, the middle class. Two votes against Medicare, two votes against the middle class. Dean Heller just keeps getting it wrong. Patriot Majority USA is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Hello, I'm Lance Gilman. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevada. We are TRI.
Watched and worried. Two wars, tax cuts for millionaires, debt piled up, and now we face a choice. Mitt Romney's plan, a new $250,000 tax cut for millionaires, increase military spending, adding trillions to the deficit, or President Obama's plan, a balanced approach, $4 trillion in deficit reduction. Millionaires pay a little more.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message because to cut the deficit, we need everyone to pay their fair share.
Your business deserves the absolute best in workers' compensation? You should know that not all workers' comp is equal. With Pro Group Management, your business is all that matters. What do you receive for your premium dollar? Professional risk management team, top-rated claim service, customer care team, website access to your full account? It's all in the numbers. You can upgrade your dollars and make them stretch farther and more efficiently. Call us today. You deserve the best. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
Segment is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. So much depends on trucks. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome back to the program, but in a different role, Andrew Klinger. He is the Reno City Manager. Pleasure to have you back on the program, formerly State Budget Director.
Yeah, nice to be back. Thank you.
Before we get into talking about Reno stuff, I wanted you to just take a quick look at state government and where it sits right now budget-wise, and what kind of things that we as the public should be looking toward to see how things are going to shake out going into the next biennium.
Well, you know, the governor came out early and said that they're going to extend the sunsets, which certainly makes the challenge of putting the next budget together a little bit easier. But I think, you know, I think what people need to understand is even with those extension on the sunsets, it's still going to be difficult to put that budget together with Medicaid growth and you know, growth in K-12 and higher ed. And they're still, you know, they're working under a budget right now that has furloughs. And so looking to the next biennium and trying to take those furloughs out, I mean, they're still going to face many challenges going forward on that budget.
Medicaid being the biggest one, wouldn't you say?
Right, yeah. Medicaid is definitely the biggest one, you know, with the changes that have been made at the federal level, the new enrollees into Medicaid. I mean, those are some huge numbers that they're looking at.
If you were a betting man, which direction do you think the governor's going to go on that? Do you think he's going to expand Medicare or keep it the way it is?
Yeah, I mean, I really have no idea, you know, how he'll go on that.
If you read my column, you would have said no, forget it. I'm curious, now that we've talked a little bit about the state, how is it different from running a city and running a state budget in the sense of, at least with the state budget, you knew where your revenues were coming in. The city, and I'm sure you've heard a lot about that darn home rule that we have, it's got to be a challenge for the city to really balance its budget, not having its own separate, you know, its own way to raise money. So what are the challenges between doing a state budget and doing a city budget?
You know, the biggest challenge is not really on the revenue side. I mean, we know what our revenues are. We can forecast them moving forward just as well as you can at the state level. To me, where the biggest challenge at the city level versus at the state level is collective bargaining. Mm-hmm. You know, at the state level, when we balanced budgets, you know, if we determined that the best way to balance the budget was to do a 3% salary reduction, we could just implement that salary reduction. At the city level, you can't do that. You know, we've got, I think, 10 different bargaining agreements that we have to go back to those bargaining units and try and negotiate concessions. So I'd say the biggest difference and the biggest challenge at the local level versus the state level is collective bargaining.
And did you have any kind of experience in this area previously?
No, I mean, at the state level, we didn't do, you know, we had no collective bargaining agreements. So coming to the city and sitting down and negotiating for the first time, I mean, it was, you know, it was new to me. But luckily, I had people on staff, you know, individuals on staff in the team who had dealt with these issues before.
There's another challenge coming from the legislature. The legislature mandates that the city and county can have collective bargaining, but the state employees don't have to.
Right.
So another one of those, you know, putting more onus down on the cities. I'm not asking politically, but just I guess, structurally, do you think collective bargaining needs to change?
Yeah, I mean, I think there needs to be some changes there at the state level. But I also think a lot of the challenges that we face as local governments, you know, we've sort of brought on ourselves based on what we've negotiated in the past. I mean, if you look at the agreements and you look at some of the concessions that the city has given to these bargaining units, I think those are some of the things that are hurting us, you know, more than, say, you know, some changes maybe to 288. But definitely the process that you have to go through, you know, the arbitration process, the binding arbitration. I mean, those certainly are impediments for us, I think, when it comes to, you know, making adjustments to those contracts.
Well, the city of Reno put forward a bill draft last session to change NRS 288, as we call it, the collective bargaining. Do you think the city will be doing that again this year to try again?
I don't think we will be doing that. I know there are others that are looking at it. And so, you know, the city's not going to put forward that bill this time.
As you look at the city of Reno and you look at the city of North Las Vegas, are we in the same kind of financial condition that the city of North Las Vegas in, which is essentially pretty close to bankruptcy?
No, I don't think so. I mean, the biggest challenge that the city of Reno faces really is on the revenue bond side. And I think that's an important distinction for viewers to understand the difference between, you know, what we call general obligation bonds versus revenue bonds. And really where we have our biggest challenges on those revenue bonds related to RETRAC, related to the Downtown Event Center.
Okay, and RETRAC was where we lowered the train tracks.
Correct.
For folks listening in Southern Nevada.
And so these are bonds that were sold on a promise of a stream of revenue. In the case of the train trench, it's a sales tax. I think it's 1/8 of a cent of sales tax is dedicated to that project. And so when they originally sold bonds, they did a projection on what they thought that would generate. Well, that you know, the revenues are not coming in as projected, but really the bondholders, the only collateral they have is that revenue. And so there's no way for them to come back and
force... You mean
force...
they can't come back and own the train trench?
They actually can't. You know, the mayor likes to say that, and I always see them as a mayor. The trench is actually not even collateral. It's the sales tax revenue that's collateral.
So what happens down the road then?
I mean, down the road, I mean, what these bondholders could do is really accelerate the bonds. But again, all they get is the revenue that comes in on the 1/8 cent. So right now we have a forbearance agreement on one of the bonds on the train trench for 2 years, and that expires. And I anticipate that forbearance will either be renewed or, you know, they'll step forward and take a haircut on the bonds or restructure it in a way that the revenue matches sort of the debt service moving forward.
Are you finding the bond bondholders are being reasonable?
They are. In most cases, they are. In some cases, we have bonds that were issued, to numerous individuals, and it's hard, you can't really get bondholders together in those cases. In the case of the retract bonds, we have single bondholders that we can deal with. But in some cases, it's like buying stocks on the open market. I mean, these were sold, in the open market, and so there's a list of thousands that own some of them.
All right. Let's take a track who owns your mortgage on your home.
right.
All right, let's take a break. More with Andrew Klinger when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Shelley Berkley, under investigation for abusing her office. And the industry Berkley did favors for is still showering her with cash. It's not surprising. Before she came to Congress, Berkley urged her boss at a Vegas casino to buy off judges and politicians with favors and campaign cash. Wrong then, wrong now. A disturbing pattern of unethical behavior. Shelley Berkley, everything that's wrong with Washington. Crossroads GPS is responsible for the content of this advertising.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is South Reno's new hotspot to meet friends and relax in our lounge. Sip handcrafted cocktails, chilled martinis, and world-class wines. Dine on sizzling signature fillets, ribeyes, and prime New York steaks. Fresh seafood and homemade desserts. North of the Summit Mall on South Virginia, the Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge.
The plan would end Medicare as we know it.
Repeals Medicare.
And that's the same plan Dean Heller voted for twice. But it gets worse. On July 25th, Heller voted to give another $160,000 tax break to millionaires. Minutes later, he voted against a tax cut for the rest of us, the middle class. Two votes against Medicare, two votes against the middle class. Dean Heller just keeps getting it wrong. Patriot Majority USA is responsible for the content of this advertising.
This segment is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. So much depends on trucks. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
I'm back on Nevada Newsmakers. We continue our conversation with Andrew Klinger. He is the Reno City Manager. Okay, tell us about the ballpark. Now, this has been the Aces Ballpark in downtown Reno has been a hugely successful thing from the number of people going there, bringing people to downtown, packing the garages in downtown Reno. What is the financial situation between the city of Reno and the owners of the ballpark?
Well, what the original agreement that was put in place was anticipating, again, tax increment revenue in the redevelopment or the baseball district. And the minimum payment on that was $1 million, and it's a property tax increment. Well, due to the downturn in the
economy.
That's
per year.
And that's correct. That's per year. I mean, well, due to the downturn in the economy, that has not come to fruition. So they're not getting that $1 million a year. And so when they put together the financial package and basically financed a portion of that ballpark, because the SK Baseball, the owners of the baseball team, actually have debt on the stadium. I think a lot of people think the city has debt on the stadium, but we actually don't. And so when they put that whole financial package together, part of what they were relying on is that $1 million a year. So we've been in negotiations with them for several months to see if there's anything we can do. I mean, part of the problem we have as a city is, we felt the crunch of the downturn as well. And so we've had to, lay off or eliminate a third of our staffing. And so for us to come up with the $1 million, that they thought they were going to get, is not an easy task for us either.
Well, one of the things that's interesting is that they had big plans to expand retail in downtown Reno way beyond what they're doing, taking over the bottom of the baseball of the bowling stadium, for example, and doing other things in that redevelopment area. Are all those plans gone away now?
You know, I think they've been put on hold like a lot of plans have.
But do you think they'll come back? Because my understanding is they're not real pleased with the city of Reno right now.
No, and I don't know if they'll come back, if SK Baseball will do, you know, do any development downtown. I mean, I think a lot of it depends on the economy, in my mind. I mean, these are businessmen, and they're going to make those decisions based on if they think they can get a good return on their investment. And so I think right now they're not looking at Reno as a market that they want to invest in, but I hope at some point they do come back and want to make those investments in downtown, because it's, you know, it's important for our downtown area to see that sort of development.
There's a concern amongst a lot of voters in town that these revenue bonds could become a general obligation bond, and at some point you're going to go out to the voters and say, we have debt of, what, $630-something million right, between the ballpark and this. Do you predict a time when you're going to have to actually go to the public and say, hey, folks, we need to pass a new bond to pay off this debt?
No, I don't think we'll do that. I mean, the current council has no appetite to do that. I frankly don't have an appetite to do that. And part of the reason is when you sell a revenue bond, there is an implied higher risk, and so you pay a higher interest rate on that. You know, it's just like any risk assessment, you're going to pay for that. So we've paid a higher interest rate on these revenue bonds, and so to me it doesn't make sense to then ask the taxpayers to come back and somehow bail these out. That would be a general obligation bond, and these weren't general obligation bonds.
Mm-hmm. The Associated Press had a headline just a couple of weeks ago: Reno considers raising alcohol licensing fees 100%. Your thoughts?
Yeah, this was an item that actually came from one of our council members, and our team has been working with the bar owners and looking at this to try and come up with something that we think is fair. And what we're looking at is, in exchange for the increase, we would be providing additional services, you know, police services, code enforcement services, and so we've been working with the bar owners to see if we can come to some sort of agreement with them.
Well, having attended those meetings and being a lobbyist for small business, I wasn't really thrilled to hear of an increase like this in the middle of a recession. It seems like you're trying to actually put the crunch on some bad players downtown and make everybody pay more for. There's definitely some bars that are causing some problems downtown, and you're kind of going to the general populace of the bar community and say, hey, pay more, we can stop this. Why not just enforce the bad players that are happening downtown?
You know, and we do. I mean, our code enforcement teams, and we go out and we do stings at these bars, and really where we see some of the biggest challenges is during some of our special events, mm-hmm. some of the Santa Crawl events, and you know, some of the other special events that we have downtown. I mean, that's where really where we see, and we charge the special event promoters fees for the additional services that they provide. But this is really an issue that the council wanted to look at as a way to solve sort of all of the issues that we have downtown, is to provide additional resources, and they saw this as a revenue source to do it.
Mm-hmm. Quick question, quick answer, please. Are we in the middle of the recession still, or are we coming out of it?
I think we're coming out of it.
All right, that's where we've got to leave it. Andrew Klinger, please come back soon.
I will. Thank
All right,
you.
We appreciate it. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
Shelley Berkley, under investigation for abusing her office. And the industry Berkley did favors for is still showering her with cash. It's not surprising. Before she came to Congress, Berkley urged her boss at a Vegas casino to buy off judges and politicians with favors and campaign cash. Wrong then, wrong now. A disturbing pattern of unethical behavior. Shelley Berkley, everything that's wrong with Washington. Crossroads GPS is responsible for the content of this advertising.
How does Lazy Boy celebrate over 85 years of providing long-lasting comfort? We have an anniversary sale and do it bigger than anyone. Now save up to $100 on legendary Lazy Boy recliners, up to $200 on sofas, up to $400 on sectionals, plus special financing available. But you'd better hurry in now, because a celebration this big can't last forever. The Lazy Boy 85th Anniversary Sale. Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Live life comfortably.
Car accidents change lives every day. When you've been injured in a serious accident, you need experienced legal help to make sure the insurance company's offer is fair.
Some folks try to settle with insurance companies on their own.
That's why you need experienced, knowledgeable attorneys who will fight for you.
Bob and I used to work for the insurance companies.
We know their tricks.
Call Galloway & Jensen. Over 50 years experience. 333-7555. We fight for you.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel, as always, and they're raring to go. Lisa Caffarotta is here, lobbyist with Planned Parenthood, Sean Carey, political columnist with Reno Tahoe Tonight Magazine, and Chris Wicca, spokesman for the Washoe Dems. Well, this is the first chance we've gotten because our previous broadcast was on tape, so we didn't get to talk about Paul Ryan. Your thoughts about Paul Ryan as Mitt Romney's running mate, Sean?
I think it was brilliant, because now all the angry straight white guys are going to vote for Romney. I mean, I think...
And they weren't before.
Yeah, solidified
the,
that
the
base.
The road to the White House is going to be paved with Wisconsin cheese.
Elisa?
You know, what's interesting to me is thinking back on the last presidential pick, Sarah Palin, nobody knew anything about her. And so there wasn't this immediate sort of, well, here's what it all means. And with Paul Ryan, here's what it all means. One, it's a, you know, huge issue with seniors and especially with women for us. You know, they're going to be a key pivotal vote. And he supports personhood, which would outlaw birth control. He's right there with Romney on defunding Planned Parenthood, and I think it's it made it very easy to sort of define the rest of the election season.
Chris, your initial response.
Well, my initial response was yes.
And you know, what it is, it's clearly a strategy where I think Mitt Romney is trying to shore up his conservative base, and that makes me wonder
do
if he's concerned about
home?
It. What?
Do you think they were going to stay home?
Paul Ryan voted for the bailout. Mm-hmm. He voted for saving the auto industry.
Paul Ryan has introduced the most oppressive budget I have seen
in
decades.
Well, that too, but
introducing crap is worse than not introducing anything.
The Democrats have gotten very good at not introducing any budgets.
Yeah, and at least Paul Ryan...
Harry Reid would say we do have a budget.
But at least Paul Ryan introduced a budget that at least got the dialogue going.
Precise.
And he's looking at a long-term fix to Medicare, which the Democrats won't even look at. The Social Security is underfunded. It will be bankrupt. And until we deal with some of these hard issues, and he's one of the first guys that stood up and said, hey, we need to deal with this.
Well, you know, you do have to deal with those issues, but to deal with them in the way that Paul Ryan has...
He just got the debate going.
Presidential pick now.
Well, then he also sat down with the Democrats and found out worked on a compromise. That ugly word, compromise.
Well, he's no Sarah Palin.
He's no Sarah Palin, but he's also no Joe Biden.
But it was also interesting. He sat on the Simpson-Bowles Commission, but left because they would raise taxes.
Well, this is Congress. I mean, there are different kind of beasts back there. I mean, everybody's record is ridiculous. I think Paul Ryan doesn't really detract from the ticket, but I'm not sure exactly what he brings. I think the fact that he's getting back there and trying to do his job is not really some sort of accolade.
Yeah, I'd rather not lose him in Congress, frankly.
All right, and he continues to be on the ballot. So if he doesn't work out, he will end up still being in Congress.
And that's the big impact is that he's in Congress, and now every Democrat can run against Congress, which is the most unpopular institution there is. Mm-hmm. And so I think the biggest impact of this is how it helps Shelley Berkley, because now there's all that money about the Medicare proposal, which Dean Heller, you know, said voted for twice, and he was happy to do it.
Somebody commented that was an in-kind contribution to Shelley Berkley nominating Paul Ryan.
And it's interesting, the Democratic Senatorial Committee put out a headline yesterday, Dean Heller's new running mate highlights Heller's clear agenda, cut taxes for the rich, paid for it by ending Medicare. But Randy, isn't the reality here that Republicans were going to vote for Republicans, Democrats were going to go for Democrats, it's nonpartisans and independents that this is all about. What does this mean for them?
Well, really, the Tea Party folks weren't probably going to get out to the polls. I mean, this is probably why I picked Ryan. I mean, people smarter than me definitely figured out what to do. So you do have a disengaged base of the conservatives that probably would have just not gotten engaged. What it does, it depends on how you define Paul Ryan. He is a very smart man. He is a go-getter. He at least put a budget out there and had a debate on it and has been a man willing to compromise and talk the issues. So you couldn't find, frankly, anybody much smarter to do this. And I think at least independents will now have a clear choice place. And I hope that they'll look at truly the records of both of these guys and realize that one hasn't exactly done a lot in 4 years.
Wasn't the biggest thing, though, changing the conversation for Governor Romney away from how many years of taxes he released to here's my vice presidential pick?
The taxes thing is not an issue. You know what? He should just release it and get it over with. But there's a whole bunch of documents that they all should release, starting with Harry Reid. I think that
Harry Reid's not running for anything. He's already got the job.
You know what?
You know, you put it out there like he did.
You know what he did? And you know, well, somebody told me that used to work with the guy 10 years ago said, well, maybe, you know, it was stupid. It was ridiculous. You know, I think Paul Ryan's going to get interesting when we see him actually start to take on Joe Biden, because those debates will be interesting.
That's an hour and a half, and we've got 3 months to go.
Right. And you know, here's the thing is, we talked about taxes last time, or Mitt Romney's taxes last time I was on. If, you know, in absence of him providing the information, people are going to start filling in. And that's, you know, what Reid did, maybe not in the most,
But it was interesting to see the interview with Bob Schieffer on 60 Minutes last Sunday, where Schieffer just slipped in and said, you know, how many years of tax returns did you have to give Governor Romney, you know, to be audited for this job? And he quickly said, well, you know, I'm going to be releasing 2 years with the same as the governor.
Releasing, but not what he gave Romney. Something that Randy said, I think, is quite true. I think the selection of Paul Ryan will redirect discussions towards really important issues.
And
I think
you know what that does for the electorate?
Puts you to sleep.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, you're assuming the electorate really wants to be informed. Yeah.
Almost half of the people in Nevada are denied Social Security disability benefits the first time they apply. But there's good news. Nearly 70% of people who appeal their claims get the benefits they deserve. At the Richard Harris Law Firm, we've helped thousands of Nevadans appeal and win. And there's no cost to you unless we win. If you've been denied your Social Security disability benefits, don't give up. Call the lawyers at the Richard Harris Law Firm, 222-2222.
Businesses need to experience victories every day. Today, you can be victorious by switching to Charter Business and saving an average of over $50 a month on business internet and phone. So call 877-250-5432 and make your entire office more productive with internet speeds up to 100 megs. That's 16 times faster than AT&T's fastest DSL. Plus, your company will enjoy a real phone line with unlimited long distance and over 30 advanced business features. Compare that to the phone company. And with Charter Business, you get a dedicated 24/7 support team based in the U.S. Is saving over $50 a month doesn't make your decision easy? This will. Call now and get up to a $500 gift card. $500! If you don't switch, you're leaving money on the table. So call 877-250-5432 now, because time is running out. To the victor go the spoils. Call 877-250-5432 today.
Seriously, overstocked? Sell off at Internet Auto Rent and Sales. Internet is seriously overstocked and must sell vehicles now. With over 600 vehicles in stock, several vehicles priced under $10,000. With zero money down and interest rates as low as 1.35%, you may never find prices and payments this low again. During the sale, you'll also get a $500 back-to-school Visa gift card with vehicle purchase. It's the seriously overstocked sell off only at Internet Auto Rent and Sales.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Well, coming up next, we'll be talking to the first woman elected to Congress from Nevada, Barbara the Candidate.
We'll see you on the next podcast. Thanks for watching and listening.